The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is John chapter 5, verses 19 to 29. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, many people do not like to hear doctrinal sermons. They call them dry and unprofitable. Such people seem to forget that such a statement is also a doctrine, for a doctrine is simply a statement of what a person thinks or believes concerning certain persons, matters or conditions. True doctrine is what the Bible reveals about God and man and the relation between the two. But why is there this foolish dislike to doctrine? It is because many people believe that they are saved by their own good works. Hence they place deeds above creeds. They say, it does not matter what you believe, but how you live. What is necessary is not a creed, but right living. This opinion is almost universal because man reasons thus by nature. Such people think that it is not necessary to know about Christ and his work of atonement, nor is it necessary that there be faith, and the means by which faith is being wrought. And to preach doctrinal sermons about these things is to them a waste of time. Therefore, such remarkable texts as the one we have before us today are seldom, if ever, expounded. Let us not be drawn into such a foolish position. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. There is a living power in the Word of God. What is revealed there is life-giving and strength-giving food for the soul. It is preached for the purpose of bringing life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins, and nourishing that life in them until their blessed end. With this in view, let us now listen with the most devout attention to what the Saviour reveals about himself. Our theme today is our glorious Saviour. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, our glorious Saviour, his divine majesty. Our text begins, "Most assuredly, I say to you." This is a solemn declaration. You may also be familiar with the words, "verily, verily." Such words are equal to oath. The hearer's or reader's attention is to be roused. He should listen, and he should take heed. Something marvellous is going to be said. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. The Son's complete, perfect unity and equality with the Father is set forth. Whatever the Father does, he the Son does likewise. With the Father nothing is impossible. Likewise, with the Son, nothing is impossible. Like Father, like Son, one in essence. This is set forth in a magnificent way in the Athanasian Creed. Part of it reads, "What the Father is, that is the Son. The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated. The Father is unlimited, the Son is unlimited. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal. Likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord." This relation between Father and the Son is based upon love. The Father loves the Son and therefore shows him all things. The Son is therefore familiar with all the works of God. This includes the creation and preservation of the world, the destinies of nations and of individuals, and the plan of salvation. Yes, the Son is himself active in all these divine works, but remember, the Son is our Saviour. Our Saviour stands before us here as the mighty creator and preserver and ruler of the world, as the one from whom all blessings flow, as the source of all life and strength, as the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Our glorious Saviour, and he is loved by the Father. There is no conflict there. The Father is well pleased in him. God enjoys his Son's work, especially the work of redemption. And again we say, our glorious Redeemer. Our text continues, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." Once more, the absolute equality of the Father and the Son is stressed. As the Father is a source of life, so likewise the Son. He imparts life, physical, spiritual, and eternal. We read in verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." And in verse 22, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, and to whom he will." It is power to take away life and to give it. It is left to him to decide to whom eternal life is to be given and to whom not. He is the supreme judge. After he has passed the sentence, no further appeal is granted. Our text says that all should honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. And that is the Father's purpose. Divine honour should be given to the Son. We should honour the Son as we honour the Father. It was indeed the right thing to do when Thomas worshipped Jesus, saying, "My Lord and my God." Here we think of the Lodge religion, Jehovah Witnesses and others, from which Jesus is eliminated. All such crisis religions are condemned by this sentence. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. They are without hope and without comfort. Here is no subordination, but perfect equality. The Saviour stands before us in his divine majesty, in all his heavenly glory and power, mighty to save, mighty to give life and salvation, mighty to defend us against all dangers within and without. Indeed, he is the Rock of Ages, and no one will perish who clings to this rock. Our glorious Saviour, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Secondly, our glorious Saviour, his wonderful works. Having divine majesty, Jesus does wonderful works, and he now mentions them. We read, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Note that in this part of his revelation, he introduces with a solemn, "Most assuredly I say to you," and then he adds, "The hour is coming, and now is." The hour was there, the voice of the Son was heard, and those who heard him, really heard him, regained life. Yes, man is dead in sins. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." Man is like a house, fully equipped with fixtures and motors, but there is no light, and the motors do not run, because there is no connection with the power plant. But here comes our glorious Saviour. He is our source of light and power. And by his voice, by his word, he sends life, light and power. His word enters the soul of man and establishes the connection with Jesus. Now there is light. Now the motors begin to run. The believer's mind begins to understand. His eyes look to the hills from whence comes his help. His mouth utters praise and thanksgiving. His hands work in the service of the Lord, and his feet walk in the right paths. Jesus' word is spirit and life. Here is the explanation for the miracle of the victory of the church. A few unlearned men go out into the world. Their weapon is nothing but a message, the message of the Saviour of mankind. Jews and Gentiles oppose them. They try to suppress that message and to still that voice. They try with all the weapons at their command, mockery, defamation, brutal force, and persecution. But those few men conquer. They wrest a kingdom from a bitterly hostile world. They were able to do that because their message was the voice of Jesus Christ, and therefore the power of God unto salvation. Our text continues, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Our Saviour, the God-man, has life in himself like the Father. He gives us life through the preaching of his gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, and gives life. We read in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 5 and 6, "Our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not by the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Not only the work of redemption, but also the work of regeneration is his. That we are redeemed from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, that we know this, that we trust in him, comfort ourselves, serve under him, and look forward to eternal life in heaven. All this we owe to him, our glorious Saviour. And has given authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Because Jesus is the Son of Man, because he has so wonderfully, so willingly executed the Father's plan of redemption by becoming man, and as our substitute, suffering and dying for the sins of the world, the Father is well pleased with him, and has given him everything, and has placed everything in his hands, even the final judgment. Christians, rejoice. The day will come when you will see your glorious Saviour in the judgment seat as the judge of the whole world, surrounded by the heavenly hosts, and before Jesus will be assembled all the nations of the earth. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Our glorious Saviour will call all the dead from their graves by the power of his voice, and this power no one can resist. Death must relinquish its hold, corruption must give up what it robbed. Every man, woman and child that has lived since the world began must come forth and appear before that judge and hear his final sentence. And come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Here is a sentence, either life or damnation. It is either eternal blessedness in heaven or eternal damnation in hell. Those who have heard the voice of Jesus in the gospel and have received Jesus in faith will have demonstrated their faith in good works and in service to him, and they will receive eternal life. However, those people who have disregarded the voice of Jesus and lived a Christless life, doing evil in the sight, will be damned. Let us then hear his voice and worship him, our glorious Saviour, the source of life. So let us close with the words of the hymnist, "Beautiful Saviour, King of creation, Son of God and Son of Man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, my joy, my crown. Beautiful Saviour, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honour, praise and adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Amen." peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.